Every time I hear Dan play these hymns so beautifully, I think about when he and I and the fellas went to Mexico and out there in the pueblos at night under the stars, all the people gathered from the different villages to hear the gospel. And Dan on that saxophone and Milton with his guitar, and that music would float over those hills, you know, and valleys. And why, my, what a blessing. And one of those Mexican brothers said, well, he said, I've heard a saxophone before, but I never did hear one play a hymn. And I've heard a saxophone, I've heard one play a hymn, but I've never heard one play a hymn that well. We've got the best, haven't we? And I'm thankful for him. John 17. I'm not going to repeat what I preached this morning or even review it. I'm going to start right where I left off. Our Lord said in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now here's the third I have. I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name. Now God has revealed himself in his creation and in providence to all of Adam's race. I want you to turn to Psalm 19. God has revealed himself in creation to all of Adam's race. While you're turning to Psalm 19, Paul said, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that all men are without excuse. Is that right? All men are without excuse. Man can look at the heavens and know there's a God. A man can see the things about him which God has made and know there's a God. Leave him without excuse. That's what Paul said there, without excuse. All right, look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, his eternal glory, his power and Godhead. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. What does that mean? Night unto night showeth knowledge, speech. What is this speech? God is speaking to all of Adam's race, declaring his eternal power and Godhead. His glory is seen in the things he's made. And listen, verse 3, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. How many languages are spoken all over this earth? How many dialects? How many tribal dialects? Thousands, I guess. But there isn't a language in which creation doesn't declare the glory of God. That's what he said. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, where the voice of the stars, the voice of the moon, and the voice of the wind, and the voice of the trees. I think I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. Remember that old poem? A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks to God all day and lifts its leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. Poems are made by fools like me. Only God can make a tree. Oh, everything. There's no language where God's glory, power, and Godhead is not declared by the things that are made. That's right. That's right. His great works Let's go back to our text. His great works. His great works. His great works of creation show His wisdom, His glory, His power, His majesty. They declare the presence of one too vast and too awesome for human reason to discover. That's right. Can you, by searching, find out God? What's higher than the heavens? What can you know? It's deeper than hell. What can you tell? Broader than the sea. But what God has made, the things God has made, declare His power and wisdom and glory. But how are we going to know the heart of God? How are we going to know the heart of God? How are we going to know the love of God? How are we going to know the will of God? How are we going to know the power of God in redemption and the purpose of God in redemption? How are we going to know? I look at the stars and I see the glory and greatness and power of God, but I can't tell a whole lot about Him in relation to me and my sins and salvation, can I? How am I going to know? Well, our Lord tells us here how we're going to know. He said, I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name. Well, what's in a name? Well, sometimes much and sometimes nothing at all, depending upon who the person is. But a name distinguishes the person's character. That's what our Lord's telling us here. I have manifested to these people your character, the heart of God, the will of God, the name of God. That's what it says. Let me show you a few verses. Turn to John 1. Look at this. John 1. It says here in John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The Son hath declared Him. Turn to John 12 and listen to this. John 12, verse 48 through 50. John 12, 48. Listen to the word. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak, and His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I came to tell you about Him, His word. Turn to Matthew 11. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Oh, I'll tell you, God makes Himself known. His name, His character, His will, His purpose, His grace, His love, His mercy in Christ. In Christ. All of the attributes of God are revealed in Christ. In Christ. Would you know God? Know Christ. That's right. You see, back in the Old Testament, let me show you something here. Back in the Old Testament, before our Lord came to this earth, the eternal God revealed Himself in this name, Jehovah. Jehovah. Yah, Jehovah, right? He revealed Himself in that name. But every time some special revelation came about, He added a word to that name. You're ahead of me, aren't you? He added a word, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah said Kinder, Jehovah Reah, Jehovah Shalom. Seven of them, wasn't it? Every time when God in a special revelation says, this is who I am, this is the way I am, this is how I work, This is what I work. He added a name to that Jehovah. Let's look at some of them, won't you? All right, turn, first of all, to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. God revealing himself. Who is he? What's he like? What will he do? What does he do? What's he pleased to do? All right, Genesis 22. Now, God appeared to Abraham. When you get to Genesis 22, look up there. He appeared to Abraham. Said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, to a mountain where I'll show you, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering to me. And Abraham took that boy, 3 days' journey, 3 days and three nights. God never spoke to him again. 3 days and three nights he went to that mountain. He took that lad and laid the wood on his back and handed him the fire. And Abraham took the knife. And they started up that mountain, and the lad turned to his father and said, Abraham said to those men down at waiting on him, he said, now you men wait here, and the lad and I'll go up and worship God, and we'll be back. And while they were on their way up, the lad turned to his father and said, here's the wood, and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? And Abraham made this statement, my son, find it here. Verse 8, Genesis 22, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide. God will see to it. My son, God will see to it. God will provide. Isn't that what he said? God will provide himself the lamb and himself a lamb. He'll be the lamb and he'll be the one to whom the lamb is sacrificed. But they went on up. Abraham believed God. He had already sacrificed Isaac in his heart. He'd already seen him raised because he knew his seed and blessing was in Isaac. So he laid him on that altar. And he raised the knife. And God told him, he said, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am's in italics, here I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. What's that mean? Look in your center reference. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. He called that name Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he revealed Jehovah Jireh. He himself is the Lamb that is sacrificed in the stead of you and me. Christ is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. All right, Exodus. Let me give you these quickly. Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Now, Israel, the people of Israel out in the wilderness, they were a national people. They were the Israel of God. They were a picture of the church in the wilderness. They were a type of spiritual Israel. And God provided. God will provide. And God healed them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth thy sins and what? Healeth thy diseases. All right, look at Exodus 15, verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that was the commandment to Israel. And I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ came, and he's the one that healeth all our sicknesses and all our diseases. He's Jehovah Rapha. And they're not conditional. upon our obedience. They're conditional upon faith. Believe him and be healed. Believe him and be healed from spiritual sicknesses and diseases. Look at Exodus 17. Here's the next one. Exodus 17. Jehovah Nissa, Jehovah our banner. In Exodus 17, verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of that place Jehovah Nissa. But for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And look in your center reference, and that Jehovah Nissa is what? The Lord our banner. He's our banner. Under his banner we are owned, under his banner we are kept, and the kingdom is the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. We're in that kingdom, and the Lord Jesus is our commander, and his banner of love flies over us. He's Jehovah Nissa. And then Judges, turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. This is the name of the Lord. What's in a name? The very character of God. He's the Lord who will provide. He's the Lord that healeth. He's the Lord our banner. And here in Judges 6, verse 24, listen. Let me read verse 22. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, I'm going to die. Alas, O Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. And he called it Jehovah Shalom. 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 Which is what? The Lord our peace. Unto this day, it is yet in Orpha of the Abiezrites, and it's called Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Christ came down, and he is our peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. My peace I give unto you. We have peace with God. We're not at war with God, because Christ is our peace. Over in Jeremiah 23, here's his name again. Jeremiah chapter 23. Turn over there. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Here's Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise up unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely." This is his name. This is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Look in your center reference. What does it say? Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. When Christ Jesus came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is our righteousness. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The end of the law, that is the consummation of it, the goal of it, and the end of it. The completion of it. Christ is our righteousness. In him we stand holy, unblameable, unreprovable. All right, Ezekiel chapter 48. Ezekiel chapter 48. Turn over there. And verse 35. Ezekiel 48, 35. The last, I believe that's the last verse in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 48, verse 35. The Lord is there. The Lord is present. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah Shammah, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. The Lord is there. When our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and redeemed us, he said to his disciples, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." He is our provider. He is the Lord that healeth us. He is our banner. He is our peace. He is our righteousness, and he is ever present. Never leave us, never forsake us. Now, one other, Psalm 23. You don't have to turn there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. All right, go back to the text. Back to the text. And our Lord Jesus said, I have manifested thy name. To whom? Well, the whole world doesn't know him. The whole world doesn't love him. The whole world doesn't recognize who he is and what he did and why he did it. But he said, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I've manifested the name of God, the character of God, the nature of God to these men. You know, those Pharisees came up to him and they said, well, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you and you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. All right, back to the text. The fourth I have, our Lord speaking of what he's done. In verse 8, now listen, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now, way back in Deuteronomy 18 is the prophecy concerning this scripture. Turn to Deuteronomy 18. Way back in Deuteronomy 18, Moses prophesied concerning Christ coming as our prophet. Now, Christ is our king. He's Lord. Christ is our priest. We talked about this morning. He's the high priest. Represents his people. Christ is that prophet. You see, God at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by Christ, by the Savior. And here's Moses talking about that over here in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Listen to it. Verse 18. Deuteronomy 18, 18. Verse 17. And the Lord said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken, for I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. All that I shall command, he shall speak. And it'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. Christ is that prophet. And he speaks the words of the Father. Now turn to Hebrews 1. I want you to look at this with me a moment. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Christ Jesus speaks the words of God. And all that we need to know of God, he says. All that we need to know of God, he reveals. And nothing shall be revealed of God other than what he has said and what he has revealed. That's right. I told our family at lunch today that we don't hear God's voice speak. Nobody here has ever heard God speak. Couldn't tell me whether his voice was high-pitched or low-pitched, or whether God spoke English or whether God spoke German. God speaks through his Son. That's how God speaks. You know, Isaiah said that. He said, if they speak not according to the law and the prophets, it's because there's no light in them. You hear these fellows on TV said, God said this to me last night, and God said this to me last week, and God told me to tell you this. God never told me to tell you anything that's not in this book. Never, ever, 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 ever. In fact, Revelation said, if you add to the words of this book, God will add to you the plagues of this book. And also another warning, you take away from the words of this book, he'll take your name from the book of life. That's right. Now look at it in Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets. I know God spoke to Abraham. I know God spoke to Moses. The canon wasn't complete. Isn't that right? The word wasn't complete. God spoke to these men. And God spoke to Paul, because the word wasn't complete. But he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What do you need to know that Christ hadn't revealed? Tell me. Now come on, what do you need to know that Christ hasn't spoken and said? You don't need to know anything. And he says, I've given them thy word. Now go back to the text. Verse 8. I have given them the words which you gave me. Which you gave me. Listen. And they have received them. And they have known two things. They have known who I am. I came from thee. They know who I am. I came from thee. They know that. Secondly, and they believe that thou didst send me. They believe the purpose for which I came. That's right. I've given them your word. And every one of them are convinced of two things. They know who I am and why I came. They know who I am, who sent me, and they know why you sent me. They've received your word. All right, verse 12 now, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. I know, and I told my Sunday school class about it this morning, I know that people get religion and lose it or leave it or desert it or whatever. I know that even preachers, through the years that I've been preaching the gospel, I have had a number of what we call preacher friends who said they knew Christ and said they knew the gospel and preached the gospel and loved the gospel. I've seen them start churches, I've seen them call people together, and then I've seen them lose interest and go to something else. I've seen people come in and go out. I've seen people claim to love Christ and show by their actions and by their attitude, by their lives, that they didn't love Christ at all. Like John said in 1 John 2, he said, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have stayed with us. And I know that. This is no new thing. It happened in the days of the apostles. You remember in John 6, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They left him. In fact, so many of them left, he turned to the 12 one day and said, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Peter said, they're like dogs that go back to the vomit or hogs that go back to the waller. But I'll tell you this, the Scripture declares that those whom the Lord saves, those, like verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me, I kept. I didn't keep those that were passing through. I didn't keep those that dropped in. I didn't keep those that got a little excited. I didn't keep those that followed me for a season. I kept those that you gave me. Isn't that what it says, John? Those you put in my hand, I kept every one of them. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. That's right. I've kept them. And I'll never be able to understand why anyone will waste time arguing or discussing the inability of our Lord to keep his sheep. I don't understand why anybody would argue that. I told somebody one time, I said, eternal security and preservation and perseverance depends on one thing. One thing and one thing alone. Who saved you? That's all it depends on. A person whom God saved, God will keep. Turn to Philippians 1. Let me show you that. Philippians 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, and he says this, I'm being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will finish it, will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ, to the day of his return. If God hath begun a work in you, God will perfect it. He'll complete it. I have kept those that you gave. All right, verse 18, back to John 17. Verse 18 is the sixth I have. Now watch this carefully. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Them? I've glorified you for them. I've finished the work for them. I manifested your name to them. I've given them your words. I've kept them. Now I've sent them into the world. These same people, he says, I pray for them. You see verse 9? Boy, those are four of the greatest words in the Bible. I pray for them. I pray for them. And here in verse 18, he said, I've sent them into the world. Now listen to me for a moment. I know you're weary, but listen. Get a hold of this. The Antichrist, he has disciples and he has preachers, Satan's ministers. The Bible talks about him as ministers of righteousness. He turns himself into an angel of light. The Antichrist sends his disciples where? Into monasteries and nunneries and communes and cults and caves and seminaries and isolated places. God sends his people into the world. Go ye into all the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them. I send them into the world. Now watch it. Listen to me. I've sent them into the world, a world that John read about that hates them and hates God. But he sends us into the world. He doesn't mean for you to get off somewhere by yourself and put a light under a bushel or salt on the shelf. I've sent them into the world. And in that world, they'll sin. But I'll save them. In that world, they'll sin. Well, I'll take my son and daughter, and I'll keep them put up in a room here. I'll not let them see anybody or know anybody or read any literature, or have any contact with sinners. You missed the boat. The little sinner's in the room where you locked him up. That's right. Your son is the wrong crowd. He's not with the wrong crowd. He is the wrong crowd. It's in here. I put him in the world, and they'll sin, but I'll save them. Listen. And I'll put them in a world, and they'll work with the world, and they'll be associated with sinners, but I'll separate them, and I'll keep them. That's right, I'll keep them. They'll work with them and associate with them, but I'll keep them. And in that world, they'll be tempted and tried, but I'll give them strength and grace. And in that world, they'll have sorrow upon sorrow, but I'll comfort them. And in that world, they'll suffer. But through that suffering and trial, I will perfect them, mature them, establish them, strengthen them, and settle them. And I'll use their suffering as a means to bring them to love me more. In that world, they'll be my witnesses. And they'll endure everything they have to endure for the sake of mine elect. Turn to 2 Timothy. And listen to old Paul talk about that. I've sent them into the world. Oh, listen to him. I pray for them. I pray for them. I've manifested your name to them. I've given them your words that you gave me. And then I sent them into the world. What did you do that for? I sent them into the world. All right, listen. 2 Timothy 2. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble. Trouble. He's in jail when he wrote this. as an evildoer, even unto bonds and chains. But the word of God's not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I tell you, I'm glad that God took Martin Luther out of a monastery and put him in the world. I'm glad God took John Calvin out of Catholicism and put him in the world. I'm glad God took other preachers out of seminaries and church schools and denominations and put them in the world, rubbing shoulders with his people, living with sinners. My Lord associated with sinners. Those old Pharisees stood there and saw him eating with those publicans and sinners, and they said, "Why does your master associate with people like that?" And he knew their thoughts. He said, "It's people like that that need me." He said, "The well don't need a doctor. Sick people need doctors. And I've come not to call righteous people but sinners to repentance." You're in the world because he put you there. That's right. You're where you are because he put you there. Be a good steward of the grace of God. He'll keep you. He'll keep you. I know you get tired. I know sometimes you think, "What in the world am I doing in this slime and mess?" You're a light in that darkness. You're salt on that meat. You're a witness for Christ Jesus. You're a witness to his elect, wherever you may be. Be a good steward of the grace of God. That's right. I put them in the world. Oh, the last one. And I'll quit. Verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I've given them." Now I realize we're looking at something here that is beyond our understanding. It's like John, the beloved John Chapman, said a while ago, and he is beloved to us. I appreciate his message and ministry and spirit. He said, the Lord Jesus said, "As you've loved me, I love them." That's hard to handle, isn't it? Boy, that's hard to get a hold of. He loves me like he loved his only beloved son, only begotten son. Well, here he said, "The glory which you gave me, I've given them." Now, I've got to teach that, and I just don't know hardly how to do it. We're looking at something here that's beyond our understanding, but let's start with what we know. This can't be his essential glory as God, because I'll never be God. Like that woman said to her little baby, "Now you'd be good and you'd be an angel someday." No, you're not going to be an angel. You're going to be irony angels, but you're not going to be an angel. You're a son of God and you're going to be a son of God. You're going to have the glory of Christ, but it's not his essential glory. You're not ever going to be Christ. And I'm not ever going to be God and Christ. But I'm going to have the glory that the Father gave him. What is this glory? I'll tell you what it is. It's his glory as the Redeemer. It's his glory as the head of the church. It's his glory as our mediator. The glory of the head belongs to the body. Isn't that right? That's what it's talking about, Bob. The glory of the head belongs to the body. Because you can't, where the head is, the body can't be far behind, can it? It's all one. We're one with Christ in redemption. And that's what he's saying. Whom he justified, he glorified. That's what he's saying, that he might make known unto us the riches of his glory on these vessels of mercy. The riches of his glory. It flows from the head to the body. The Lord will give grace and glory. No glory without grace, and no grace without glory. Peter said, "He hath called us to glory." And it's the glory of the Redeemer. I want you to look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans 8, 16. Well, Romans 8, 16 says this. "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs." heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ in redemption, in redemptive glory. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. As the head is glorified, the church will be glorified. As the Redeemer is glorified, the redeemed will be glorified. That's right. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One other scripture, and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. We're sown in corruption, we're raised in incorruption. We're sown in dishonor, we'll be raised in glory. If sown in weakness, we'll be raised in power. If sown a natural body, we'll be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. And the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now listen. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We won't all sleep. We're not all going to die. Some of us are going to be here when our Lord comes. But we're all going to have to be changed. We'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we'll be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, and only then, shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to sing for a closing hymn tonight, number 505. 505. That will be glory for me when all my labors and trials are o'er and I'm safe on that beautiful shore. Just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages, that'd be my glory. Glory for me. Let's stand while we sing.